This episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast is brought to you by Arjuna Solutions. Arjuna uses its patented AI and behavioral economics technology to help nonprofits increase their direct response fundraising. It's easy with Arjuna. Learn more at www.arjunasolutions.com.
Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Greetings again. This is Mickey Desai at Cause Camp. One of the fantastic people I get to meet right now is Betebo Gogo. Where are you from, first of all?
I'm from Nigeria.
Nigeria. Hold on a second. I'm hoping the people can hear me over the background noise. Say that again. Where are you from?
I'm from Nigeria.
Nigeria. What part of Nigeria?
I'm from Port Harcourt, Rivers State.
I don't think I know where that is.
Yeah, it's in the Niger Delta.
Okay, very cool. Wow, how long have you been here in America?
I've been here since Friday.
Since Friday?
Yes.
What cool things have you done since Friday? Anything interesting?
Well, not really. I've been coming here for the past 10 years, so it's not my first time. I've been to Cost Camp once in North Carolina in 2018.
Okay, got it. So you're a veteran of the camp, of the Cause Camp.
Yes.
And you must come to the States for other conferences as well, I imagine.
Yes, I do.
Got it. You are the Volunteer Executive Director and Chief Servant of Keeping It Real Foundation.
Yes, I am.
What does that mean?
Okay, so Chief Servant, it means that I don't earn a salary. I'm a Volunteer Executive Director. I don't earn a salary. I don't get an allowance. I try to make sure that everybody in my community, my team, and the people that I work with are able to express themselves fully and maximize their potentials.
Okay. Okay, so again, what does that mean? What does it mean to express yourself fully and maximize potential?
Maximizing their potentials means that I allow them, even within the context of the work that they do, to be able to come up with their own ideas. They're not muscled, and they're free to also be themselves, bring their best selves to work.
This is going to sound like a terrible question. Mm. Do you meet a lot of people who have a problem being themselves?
Yes, we do. Sometimes it's because of the way society stereotypes them. We run a nonprofit organization that is focused on disability inclusion. And in the part of the world where I come from, they're marginalized, they're stigmatized. So most of the time when you meet them, instead of looking at their abilities, they focus more on their disabilities. And they feel that the disability prevents them from being their best selves.
Okay. So many questions to ask you. Disabilities, what kind of disabilities are you? And the reason I ask what kind of disabilities is, do you provide support? Like if someone needs a wheelchair, you'll help them get it. If they need private tutoring to overcome a learning disability, do you help with that sort of thing? Can you help?
Okay, so we don't do that. We work with persons who are mobility challenged. We use crutches. We use wheelchairs, people that are blind or visually impaired, people who are deaf. And basically what we do is, let me give the Cost Camp as an example. Yeah. Let's say I register for Cost Camp in my country. I'll find out from the organizers, is it going to be disability inclusive? More often than not, what I get is a no. And when I ask them why, it's because they didn't even think about it in the design stage. So a lot of times you find out that the building where the conference is going to take place doesn't have ramps. It doesn't even have tactile, places where the blind can easily move around. It has a lot of obstacles. And so when I speak with them and they tell me that it's not disability inclusive, I say to them, would you like for it to be disability inclusive? So what we provide them with, we provide a sign language interpreter. I get to get people from my network who come in. And we do that because we realize that a lot of persons with disabilities don't have a social life, Yeah. And when their social life is limited, you find out that the opportunities too are limited. Just like the example you gave about tutoring and all that, they don't get to go to college. A lot of them don't get to go to college, not because they're not smart, but because they don't get the opportunities that persons without disabilities get.
Okay. Oh, man. How many people do you serve in a year, roughly?
Okay, so roughly we serve about 250 people to maybe like 500 people, because on International Day of Persons with Disabilities, would usually reach out to all the beneficiaries we've worked with in the course of the year. And we have business seminars for them. We get HR practitioners to work with them. And usually would, you know, raise funds for them to be able to buy equipment. We don't give them money, but we give them equipment that supports small businesses. And then also we work with universities and schools that work with young people with disabilities and provide them with educational support.
Hmm. What draws you to this type of work? Why do you do this instead of anything else in the nonprofit world?
Well, I always say that there's a thin line between ability and disability. And so, you know, when I think it was David, I can't remember his name, but the first guy that, you know, what I think he talked about, if you knew more about me, you know, so I have been married for 25 years. I'm fertility challenged. And in the course of doing treatments, you know, I almost lost my life. I practically died in 2010. And this is a dream that I've had right from when I was a teenager. And I just kept giving myself excuses why I couldn't do it. But, you know, just lying down on that bed and, you know, I just realized that I have only one life to live. I don't have a monopoly over it. And I said to myself, if I get a chance to live again, there's actually a TED Talk, A Chance to Live Again by Bitebo Gogo. So if I have a chance to live again,
I will have to check it out.
Yes.
Okay.
I will just go ahead and pursue my dreams. So that's what led me to do it.
Interesting. Okay. So that's where it comes from.
Yes.
What are you learning here at Cause Camp?
At Cause Camp, just the energy, meeting people. You know, I like Cause Camp because the crowd is smaller, it's more personal, and you get to learn a lot of things from people at a personal level. Just like the story, I like the storytelling part more, you know, just getting to realize that you have to make connections with people. You don't just ask them for money, you must care about people first. So I could relate with one of the speakers who said that, I think that's compassion. Compassion didn't ask for money from its donors during the COVID season. And that's exactly what we did as well. We didn't ask for money. We just called up our donors to find out how you doing, you know. And, you know, so just being with kindred spirit, you know, here and realizing that there's a better way of running nonprofits than just asking for money. Doing more good by, you know, caring about your donors. That's very important.
Very important. As you do the work for your nonprofit, what are some of your major leadership challenges or some of your management challenges?
Some of the challenges I have is with millennials. You find out that you find out that they come in and they say they're very passionate about the work. And then the next thing, you know, you try to make them realize that every organization has structure. There's a way that we do things here. But you first and foremost, they tell you the money is not much. And you say, everybody in this organization is a fundraiser. You also have to raise funds. And they go like, well, that's not what we had in mind. And then they also want you to go out of, you know, your typical vision and mission, the things that you're doing. And you want them to realize that we can't do everything. We can't solve everybody's problem. We have specific targets, you know, people that we, you know, connect with and people that we want to help. If we have to support everybody, then we cannot be effective. So that's one of the challenges. They're very cost-driven, but they're not very focused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a part of me that wants to agree with you, and then there's a part of me that doesn't agree with you.
Okay.
Only because I think a millennial is simply just like any other person. These are folks who are looking for money.
Mm.
They're trying to figure things out for themselves, and they simply haven't. You know, if they walk into your office and they say, if you say to me, you need to be a fundraiser, that's fine. You're supposed to say that.
Mm.
But what if I don't need to be a fundraiser? Mm. Then I just learned that about myself.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think that's the problem.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you, Mickey. It's just that when you're running a nonprofit organization on a shoestring budget, you know, and it's not like they're not told what they're supposed to do before they join in, you know, just that they're not aware of the amount of work that is involved. You know, they underestimate the amount of work that you have to do in a small nonprofit organization.
I see. And plus, I do agree with you that everybody should play some part in the fundraising game.
Yeah.
And but that's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
Everybody should do something related to fundraising.
Yeah.
So how many people are you working with?
As a team? Four.
Four people?
Yes.
And you're a volunteer?
Yes, I'm a volunteer.
How do you do it?
Well, my husband has a very good job, so it's a one-income family, and I get to enjoy the best of both worlds. You know, I call myself more than a conqueror because he brings in the funds, and I just live my life.
How do you fund the organization?
The funding comes mostly from individuals, small, medium-sized organizations, proposal writing. Also, sometimes we belong to platforms that do crowdfunding. So there's some projects that go on crowdfunding platforms like Global Giving. So we have a project on Global Giving, you know, for activities that we do in other Nigeria to train children in public schools and communities. Yeah.
What is on your horizon as you look at the future? What do you think your next challenges will be?
Well, the thing is succession, passing on to the next generation. So that's something that I've been working on for years. And, you know, like I said, I don't earn a salary. So getting somebody who would be willing to walk in my shoes, they're very big shoes to fill.
Right.
You know, so there has to be enough money for the next person coming on board to be able to earn a salary, because I appreciate that, just like you said earlier, not everybody will have my peculiar circumstances.
Right, no. And it's an important thing. Succession planning is very important.
Very, very important.
So, Tebo, if you had a word of advice to give to other nonprofits that are listening to you, what would you say to your contemporaries about the work that they do? What advice would you give them as a nonprofit leader?
I'd say that don't burn out. Connect with other nonprofit leaders. And you're not alone, because sometimes it can be a lonely work, and it's only lonely because people decide to work on their own. The people out there that can help you, you can come to Cost Camp, you can unwind, and you can also meet Mickey and talk with him. He has a great energy, and I just love him.
You're very kind. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tebo, if someone wanted to be in touch with you to learn more about the organization and the work that you do, how would they find you?
Well, they can find us at Care Foundation, on all our social media platforms. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, forgot the name.
Snapchat.
No, it's not Snapchat. It's later TikTok.
TikTok.
We're on TikTok as well.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm also on Instagram at BTableGogo. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, and I'm also on TikTok. I'm on Twitter as well.
Okay.
So they can meet me up there.
Many ways to find
you. Yes.
And Care Foundation is KIRFoundation.org.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Very cool. Tebo, thank you for taking
the
time to sit
with me. Thank you so much, Mickey. You are the best.
Oh.
I simply love your smiles. You have a great personality.
I need to hire you to be my PR person. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai at Cause Camp. Very happy to be speaking with Nick Wilson. Nick is with Easy Board, and your title is Customer Success?
I am in charge of many things, but primarily customer success. Basically, anything customer-facing, I have the privilege of managing, being part of. Yeah,
cool.
We're a small team, so.
How big is your team?
There are five of us on our team.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, at present.
Five. Okay, so customer success means all the outward-facing stuff?
All the outward-facing stuff. I'm in charge of our marketing strategy, sales process, customer support, building relationships, being here, doing this kind of thing. I get to do all that.
So let me ask the first big question is,
sure.
What is Easy Board?
What is Easy Board?
Yeah.
Goodness sakes. Yes. Easy Board is a simple tool to help manage and distribute volunteer board information. So it's a web platform that board members can log into, that executive directors can configure and be an administrator for. They can create meetings, upload documents, organize documents, and manage people and everybody on their board and so on. So we've been around as a company for about 10 years building custom websites and web applications. EasyBoard's our product that we've just built and brought to market a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But we've been around as a company for about 10 years. And it was through our customers and our clients that we've built relationships with that we realized, hey, there's kind of a need in this space for a dedicated tool, a really simple, easy-to-use tool for volunteer boards so that they can access and manage board information.
Okay. I'm sure we're going to have tons of stuff to talk about, but let me ask one very hard question.
Yeah.
I've served on a lot of boards.
Yes.
And I've consulted with a lot of boards, many of whom are looking for portal-type solutions to help facilitate communications and things like that. In my own personal wanderings, I have never seen a board portal that was actually useful to an organization. So how do you make yourself useful? How do you make sure that it doesn't get ignored once it's installed?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. And we did some market research prior to building. Obviously, we're not going to allocate lots of time and resources to building something that A, already exists, or B, there isn't a market need for. So the market research we did find there are other board portals out there, as many people may be aware. But what we found was a lot of these were built maybe a decade or more ago for the corporate board member. And then they were like, hey, we could also sell it to nonprofits. And so they just repositioned their marketing strategy to target nonprofits. But that's actually not a winning strategy in terms of actually creating a solution for the volunteer board. The volunteer board member is a different user profile than the corporate board member. And so we're not an enterprisey, all the bells and whistles, you have to take an hour or two to learn how to use the tool type of platform. We err on the side of simplicity. Our main feature is ease of use, is the user interface. And that is what drives adoption more than anything. More than that, we've also built in a feature called Magic Links, which enables board members to access meeting information, including documents, et cetera, without having to log into the platform.
Okay, so that's...
So that's the game changer.
Yeah. I get it. And that's the thing. You know, I would see nonprofits get set up with the facility to be able to offer that to their board members, and then they would forget their logins, and then the whole thing would just get neglected and nothing ever happened.
Yes.
I hate it when that happens.
Yes. Yeah. And you'll have a range, a spectrum, right, of people on your board. Some people are really keen and excited about new technology, new tools. Other people are like, I don't want to learn a new thing. I mean, you can't make me.
Right.
That's just the reality. And we get that. So we wanted to build a tool that came to them rather than requiring them to come to us.
I have to ask, how much does it cost?
Great question. So our pricing, a couple things to bear in mind. We don't price per user. We don't think that's actually a winning strategy either for nonprofits, because a lot of times nonprofits have a lot of volunteers, maybe a large volunteer board, or they have different boards, right? Different committees with different people. And just because you have more volunteers doesn't mean you have the financial resources to support them all. So subscription access to our platform includes up to 100 users. So the more the merrier, actually, the better mileage you get. There's unlimited file storage. You can create as many groups or committees on platform as you need. And then you get one-on-one support for onboarding, strategy for roll-up for your board, and any kind of issues that come up, you get that as well. So that's all included. And the price tag actually is somewhat dependent on the budget size of the nonprofit. So if you are at or below $500,000 in operating budget, it's just $80 a month.
That's not bad at all. 80 bucks a month?
80 bucks a month. That's
it. Holy mackerel. Okay. I'm genuinely impressed. Have you ever had a nonprofit exceed 100 users?
Yes, we have one.
Okay.
Yes, but we had put a cap on the user limit after they onboarded, so we're not going to like penalize them.
Yeah.
They love it. They're a huge fan, and so we're not going to mess with that.
Right.
So if your budget increases from 500,000 to 1 million, it's 120 a month, and then it's 160 for 1 million plus. So that's kind of how we have it structured. Right. And yeah,
it seems pretty affordable in general.
I think so. I mean, there's definitely a cutoff. Like if you're a baby nonprofit, you're brand new to the space, and you know you have three board members who are your family, probably not gonna make the budget, which we get. Like yeah. We're not absolutely for absolutely everybody. On the other end, if you run a $50 million nonprofit, chances are you are already using one of those enterprise solutions. Maybe you love it, maybe you don't, you probably don't.
Right.
But we won't have all the bells and whistles that platform has, and change is hard. So we are not necessarily going after those folks either. Although, hey, if you want, we'd be happy to serve you guys too. So
I must say though, that if you're a small nonprofit with only three board members and they're your family, you're doing it wrong.
You're right. Yes. I don't want to make any judgments, but I wouldn't disagree with that sentiment. But generally speaking, you know, you do have the range of folks. But typically, yeah, you know, if $250,000 budget a year to like maybe $5 million, that's kind of a sweet spot for us. A lot of folks.
How did you get in the business?
Yeah, so I actually worked in nonprofits for a while and was brought on staff a couple of years ago, concurrent with the launch of this platform, to help with sales and so on. And then I've gradually kind of been brought in full time to do marketing and sales and customer support and all that stuff.
So you see a number of nonprofits cross your desk in a general amount of time.
Yep.
What would you think that the major problems they have are, right? Like what kind of problems? I mean, never mind the product you're trying to sell.
Yeah.
But in general, what do you think the major management problems are for nonprofits that come to see you?
Yeah. So I'm more kind of cued into the pain points in terms of board management, right? Because if people are inquiring about Easy Board, there is some sort of problem that they're looking to solve that we might be able to help them with. And I actually always begin a demo that way. I say, hey, tell me a little bit about your organization. How do you think Easy Board could help you guys? And so that kind of helps me understand where they're coming from. I'd say the majority of those folks, The process, they have some sort of process in place. They're not brand spanking new. Not many people are saying, hey, we just started or we're filing for our 501c3 status. It's happened a couple of times. Most of them already have a process, but it doesn't work very well. And if they're bootstrapping it, they usually are, they're using a Google Drive or Office 365 or OneDrive, whatever you call it. And then they're also emailing documents as attachments. And that works okay for a little bit, but as soon as there's any kind of complexity to a board, if you're adding committees or groups of some kind, it's really hard to manage that. Manage permissions and permissioned access to documents is really, really critical. That's a key component to our platform to making it work. And then in times of transition, so executive director or somebody at the top is leaving, there's a transition there, or you're bringing on new board members, they're leaving. How do you hand off critical information to make sure your nonprofit is successful? That's really challenging if you're just using those kind of tools. A hub where all that can live can really help with that transition process.
I have a number of questions I want to ask you. And as usual, my brain is running in like three different directions.
Sure. Great. This is great. Yeah. Love it.
And again, I don't want to turn this into just an infomercial. So if you had advice to give to a nonprofit, whether it's about board management or not, what kind of advice would you have for nonprofit leaders and your peer level folks across the sector?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think, One of the perennial challenges that nonprofits and nonprofit executive directors face is a lack of, or maybe not as much board engagement as they'd want. And I would say for the volunteer board space, board engagement is directly proportionate to how easy it is for the board to engage. So if it's complicated, if it's not really clear what they need to do or how they need to engage, it's not going to end well for you. So the best thing you can do is keep it as simple as possible and easy as possible for your board member. And oftentimes that includes really just very clear communication about what's expected, whether it be at the front end as you're onboarding them, or, you know, hey, before the next meeting, you need to have these things done. All of like that has to be super crystal clear, because these are busy people. They're committed to a lot of different things, and it's on you, I think, as the executive, to kind of simplify it, make it digestible, easy, so that they can act on it.
Does Easy Board generate notifications?
Yes.
So if I need a reminder, it's going to give me one.
Correct.
Okay. So that to me is also pretty huge.
Yes.
It's one thing to put a document up. It's another thing to tap me on the shoulder a week later to say, oh, you forgot this.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Very cool. How does a listener find you to learn more about you and learn more about Easy Board?
Yeah. Yep. So you can find us on our website, easyboard.com. Really simple there. Easyboard.com.
Right.
You can reach out to me directly. I'm nick@easyboard.com. Yeah, that's kind of the primary. I mean, I think we have a Facebook page, but like, you know, do we use it as much as we should? Probably not, but yeah. Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. That's right. Very cool. Nick, thanks for taking a few minutes to sit with me today.
Mickey, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks
Absolutely.
So much.
This episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast is brought to you by Arjuna Solutions. Arjuna uses its patented AI and behavioral economics technology to help nonprofits increase their direct response fundraising. It's easy with Arjuna. Learn more at www.arjunasolutions.com.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.